I'm good. How are you?
You guys enjoying your summer?
Yeah.
You've had good weather.
Oh, yeah.
I'm supposed to be recording to the USB.
Oh, we're recording?
See if it works.
You can turn it on.
Because when I did play for a game, the sound was horrible. It was like muffled.
You're on.
We switch my chat.
You're on.
Yes.
Okay.
That's all.
All right. It's 5:30. We'll call the work session to order. Is there anybody here from the West Tennessee Annexation? There was an attorney going to show up. Apparently he isn't here. Okay, what they're looking to do is there's a couple of properties as you come up the hill. I was going to have the attorney explain it, but as you come up the hill out of the village, right where Oneida Street meets West Tennessee Road there, there's two empty lots. And what they're looking to do is to annex them. The two empty lots are just outside the village, and they're looking to annex the two lots into the village because of water, apparently. But since he's not here, I can only guess. So
it's over near the bypass.
No, it's where Oneida Street. Where Oneida. After you go past the bypass into the village. Just before you hit the village line, there's two empty lots on the right-hand side, just before the chiropractic place.
Oh, okay. So like past what? Bovee's place or Spa on the River? Is that what I'm
No, thinking? you're way down. That's West Tennessee. Did I say West Tennessee?
Yeah.
East Tennessee Road.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, up the hill.
East Tennessee.
At Oneida.
Yeah. Dan, okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's okay. All right. No, yeah, I was fine. Confused, too.
It's East Tennessee.
Okay.
East Tennessee Street.
And they're not in the village now.
They're just outside the village.
So to hook up the water.
Apparently, once they annex it in. What would be the issues with that, Tony, for us?
I assume they're going to build a house there.
That's what they want to do. Nobody showed up, so I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, I mean, if they build a house, if it was on our land, we would get the tax result. You know, taxes. If it belongs to the village, they get it.
But we provide, village provides water to residents of Lysander that aren't in the village, so.
Yeah, they could.
But you'd have to form a district.
If a district close by, they can do an agreement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is the other way to do it.
Yeah.
If the village wants to, the village.
Here comes someone.
right.
Is there?
We just kind of give her okay.
That's probably him.
Joe, are you here for the East Tennessee Road
annexation?
Actually, yeah. No, you're up. Oh, thank you. I realize it was a rush hour on 7th. It's 5 o'clock, so I'm like, geez, I'm not going to get there.
So I just told them what the issue was. They know where it is.
Okay. I think it was small.
Yeah, I don't need one. I know exactly what
I don't.
It is.
Well, it's kind of grown a little bit.
It's grown?
Yes. There's two
two
parcels
lots
next to it.
Yeah.
And Baldwinsville suggested
teams call
that we look to them if they want to join in on this. And they got
who wants to join in on it?
Two more houses, two houses that are there adjacent to my client's lots.
Okay. Oh, two more, the two houses going up the hill, you mean?
Yeah.
Right next to the lot, okay.
I haven't been able to reach them for a while, and one of them called and said, so she's been on the second call in 2 years, and she's in whatever I can do, she's considering
right next to the lot. I'm passionate standing in the middle. I got you. Bless you.
Thank you.
There you go.
Okay. So my name is Joe Mastriani. I'm the engineer on the project. My client, Jose Perez, sends his apologies. He's an attorney that says he's stuck in court. He contacted me about 20 years ago, so he's been making here. So there's actually three parcels immediately adjacent to Baldwinsville by the chiropractic office across from Buckeye. He owns them. And he wants to put them together and form two separate building lots But to get, we try to put septic systems on there, and it's just not quite big enough to do it with the soil we've got there. So his alternative was to apply to get annexed into the village, and then he would tie into their septic system, which is right at the end of Preston Fairway, about, say, 100, 125 feet down from the edge of the property, going this way. So we talked to the board of trustees in Baldwinsville about this, and they were fine with it, but then they suggested seeing if the next two houses, existing homes, which would be here and here, and it's on one of the sheets I gave you, the tax map there, if they would be interested, because they knew they had had problems, and tried to get a hold of them in Quinton, and then all of a sudden this afternoon we got a hold of them, and they said they're interested also. So the initial project was these two lots, and one thing I want to point out, when I talked to Al last year, that pointed out there is a water main going through there, so we'd have to position everything so it's not in conflict with the main. And the village already asked us to make it a, from a 12-foot easement, make it a 20-foot easement. So if they had to get in there and do something, that's not a problem, everything fits. So we talked to the board of trustees, and their attorney said the next thing would be to come to the town and just expose it to the town and get your input and things like that. And any concerns you might have or anything else.
Okay. Pretty simple.
Does this already have existing driveways to the properties?
There's, I think there's a driveway to this one. I think a long time ago, I think there was a house there that had a fire.
Okay.
It was taken down, but there'd be one more put. There's no problem with site distance. You can see all the way down to the village and everything.
Right.
So you should be okay on that. We'd still have to go through the DOT, obviously, but still.
Oh, yeah. I just.
Yeah,
make sure
I didn't see any problem with stopping site distance or anything else on there.
Okay.
And then the other two houses, obviously, they already have driveways and they're occupied. So.
Al, is this a different piece of property than we talked about? We did something came up about a year ago.
Same piece of
property. Oh, it's the same piece. So what was the issue last year?
It really is all about sewer and how they want to approach the sanitary connection and fees associated with it. The other alternative would be to try to do a town sewer district and then an agreement with the village to accept the town sewer. Unfortunately, they get charged twice, essentially, by doing that, so this may be a better alternative for them from a
standpoint. But what did they need from us last year? I can't remember.
Well, last year, as I recall, they were looking at doing a district extension, or a standalone sewer district to serve those parcels.
Okay.
It was a discussion. Another alternative was, you know, you can annex to the village as well if that's not.
So is there any downside to the town if we allow this to happen? Is this a no-brainer?
They're off the tax roll, right, of the town?
Follow me. No, they still need
to
pay down.
And my client, he's going to foot the cost of putting in the line and everything else, so there'd be no charge for the dollar ourselves.
Yeah, like what it costs, you know, their relationship with the village has no
right.
bearing on us.
Right.
You know, we're just looking at it. What's the ramifications for us?
Right.
So, all right. You know, I think we'll have a conversation with them, and then, you know, if they want to give me a call, send me an email, and then once we get in touch with them, we'll probably be able to figure it out by our next meeting.
Okay, and then Al's got my email, so if you can move that, that'd be good.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
That way it'll give us some time to look it over and think about it. Okay, Highway Secretary hours. We had talked about that before. What do we want to do with that?
Well, I'll start. I mean, I think it's fine leaving it the way it is. I looked at our employee handbook, section 400-1, first part, 401, departmental hours. Normal hours of operation, third sentence. An employee's department head will establish the employee's work schedule, which may differ from the normal hours of operation depending on the particular needs and requirements of the department. Town board reserves the right to approve all employee work schedules except where otherwise prohibited by applicable state or town law. But I don't see anywhere else where we tell department heads how they decide who's working when.
That's because they're all on the same schedule.
But the highway MEOs work 410s in the summer.
Okay. What does that have to do with the secretary? She doesn't work with them.
She works for the highway supervisor. And she does dig safe permits.
Yeah, well, you see, the thing is, on Friday, I wouldn't be there to feed any work, and she wouldn't be able to relay any work. My phone, now we have the phone, office's IP to ring in my hand, so it's not like anything's getting missed. And I just don't see how, I don't see how having her there by herself on Friday is quite the way of...
Ken, what was the argument that you made, or that was made? What's the argument for having a highway secretary in the first place? And don't misconstrue what I'm asking. I'm not saying we shouldn't have one. Of course we should. But what's the rationale? What is the purpose of that position?
Before I answer your question, Bob, this has already been voted on. This is the resolution. This was already hashed through. It's got an aye from... each of the board members. So my question is, why again are we visiting something? And this didn't come up during the probation period. We waited 6 months to now try and have her rearrange her schedule. For what?
Because I think there's some level of discomfort or uncertainty in terms of why that person should be there to coincide with the hours of the highway crew versus answering the question I just posed to you. What, if you're running a business, what's the purpose of this position? I mean, I can answer it, but I want you to answer it. The answer to the question is that person is there for two purposes. It's doing all of the administrative work that needs to be done, freeing the highway superintendent up to do field work and other things, more higher level work. So there's a ton of administrative work. If I was in your shoes, I couldn't possibly do the job without having that kind of an assistant. The second part of that job is to deal with the public. The public normally thinks in terms of Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 or 8:30 to 4:30 in terms of finding people to ask questions of, whether it's a bank or a library or a place of business that doesn't open 7 days a week. And because of that, my skepticism is at this point saying, I want that person there when the public is more likely to be expecting that person to be there, which is Monday through Friday. And if those aren't the two main purposes of the job, and there's other purposes, then convince me, because I don't see it.
Are you open on Fridays, or is the office closed?
The office is closed. We work 410s.
Is that the answer to the question?
To grasp,
well, the office is closed on Fridays.
Highway
so.
World, Monday through Friday in the summer, 410s is very common. I would imagine if you would like, I can call some
office. So let me give you an example, Ken, and for everybody else. And it's because of my history with Onondaga County. The Onondaga County Highway Department works a four-day schedule in the summer. The administrative office is there Monday to Friday, 8:30 to 4:30. The superintendent, it happens to be a director, and the secretarial staff, the financial staff, all of those people work Monday to Friday. They are separate from the field staff. And to me, the town of Lysander is just a microcosm of what Onondaga County does. And the public, you know, when my mailbox is run over by a snowplow, or I want to find out how to put a new culvert in my building contractor says we can do it on Friday, you know, we ought to be able to answer a question or at least relate to the superintendent. Ken, here are all the questions that came in, and you're going to tell me that you're available on Friday? I think.
Answer questions.
So Pete.
No, go ahead.
I think personally, and I don't want to micromanage, I think we talked about this. I think the highway superintendent, as a taxpayer, you know, should be there 5 days a week. However, I also think our comptroller should be in the office 5 days a week, following normal schedule, not working from home. So if we do one for the other, we should do it for the comptroller as well, too, that position, and make sure that position is in the office 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, following the same schedule as the rest of the office people. Because it makes no sense where we have some union people and non-union people following every different schedule, so that way it makes everyone on the same playing field regardless.
So, Ken, I seem to remember when we were holding discussions about this position, about extending the hours of this position, you did give us the argument that you needed her there 5 days a week. And when we said, well, what's she going to do when on Fridays in the summertime? And you said, well, there's always paperwork to catch up on. There's always something to be done in that office. But the argument from you for making this position full time was we need someone in that office 5 days a week. So to me, that argument, if that argument is no longer true, then you know that has a few ramifications.
Can I get an explanation showing us does this valid or do other resolutions become
you can change the resolution
turn back on no matter what?
Yeah,
even though we okay.
You can repeal it, change it anytime you
can. Do you remember though? Do you remember those discussions?
Yes, I remember hearing that so she's not gonna work Monday through Friday? Yes, that is correct. Okay, so the department head at the highway is going to set her hours. Yes, those hours are Monday through Thursday, summertime, four times. Yes, as long as it's 35 hours, but she's allowed, that's okay.
This was a different discussion. This was prior to that one, when we were making the position.
Right, but we went from having 20 to 25 hours a week to 35 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
Is she working 35 hours a week?
What about on holidays?
That's up to
she's salary
or something.
We approved a salary.
No, she's hourly.
She's salary.
She's not.
She's
we
got
approved a salary.
Kevin, she can't be a salaried employee by FLASA. We approved a salary. The salary is for 7 days a week, or for 5 days a week. 35 hours. That's the salary. So
well,
you come up.
Hold on a second.
Hold
on a second. An hourly rate, not at a salary.
You can't supersede FLASA. FLASA does not allow her to be a salaried employee. We gave her a salary for 35 hours. This is what you get paid. It breaks down to X amount of dollars per hour. That's what it is. But you can't, until she makes over $35,000, she has to be an hourly employee. We can't do that.
Right, because...
Right.
No, if I'm just going by what we voted on with a salary.
You can give somebody a salary for 35 hours.
No, we could set a budget with hourly rates, and we could say not to exceed.
She has to be hourly until she makes $35,000.
Kevin,
I have
a little...
Right, but Kevin. I'm not arguing about that. What I'm saying is... The highway supervisor, an elected official, is getting 35 hours a week out of his employee. We don't tell Kevin when park attendants work at the park. They're not there the whole time the park's being used. So now we want to tell the highway supervisor?
No, I think we do. I think we do.
You told me people are available. They're not necessarily there at the park. Are attendants there from dawn to dusk every day?
During park season, the park is attended.
From dawn to dusk?
From the time the park opens to the time the park closes.
Okay. Because I had asked you, were attendants there all the time? And you said, well, they're available. So that made me feel that they might not be there. I asked you when we went and toured the field like 2 months ago.
That was a time before we had all of our employees hired.
Okay, so you were only speaking at that specific instance.
Once all the employees are brought on board, the park is staffed from the time it's open to the time it closes.
Okay.
And they don't get to pick their hours. He sets the hours.
The department head sets their hours.
Because they're part-time. The full-timers.
But the department head sets their hours. The town of Lysander has entrusted the highway supervisor with almost 60% to manage 60% of our budget.
And I have a problem with that, too.
We don't think he can manage one employee?
No.
What, did you want to make it appointed?
No, I don't think he can manage one employee, because we're going to be talking about...
So he can't manage 9 MEOs, he can't manage...
We're going to be talking about his budget right here, and that's the very point I'm going to bring up. Yes.
I think this is ridiculous. If the person's working 35 hours,
but here's the
I don't
thing.
Want to get
here's,
into
here's
when
the
parks director's here, when the comptroller's here, we're talking about three people that aren't in a union.
So here's how it came up, was paying that employee for 9.5 hours on a day, or 8.5 hours on a day off when everybody else gets paid 7. So for that week, so if we're paying her for 35 hours during the week, she wouldn't work 35 hours. If you take the 7 hours out of it, she should have worked 28 hours. She was only working 26.5 hours. That was my argument. That, okay, you know, we pay her, I'm not saying take any money away, but she could make it up in those other days. She didn't like that. So she went back door to you two guys, and then we had that discussion, and that's what brought this up with our other two board members.
She went to the highway committee.
The highway, okay.
Right.
Can I just let me just ask a question here? You're making this a point, and it's legitimate that a department head ought to have the privilege of determining when his or her employees work. That's not a bad argument. You still haven't answered the question, Ken. What does this person do? In the sense, why do you need a highway secretary? And because you haven't convinced me that I'm wrong, that person is there not only for administrative work, which can happen in a normal business week, Monday through Friday, as well as answering the phone and having a human voice on the other end of the phone for the public.
If, in fact, I'm out in the field, the phone rings, and somebody needs something, I can ask Alicia, is there something in the shop? Sure there is. Can you please relay this message? Or the phone rings, she calls me and says, got a call from so-and-so, and I say, well, I'm busy. See who's in the shop and ask them to go over. If I'm not there, she does the... Actually, we're still working to get the dig safes onto my computer. So she does the locates, calls to the contractors to find out what they're digging, what they're actually going to use their permit for, what they're seeking to do. What is the purpose of her going to be there by herself, and how is that going to work?
Well, she's there by herself when everybody's out on the road anyway. There are times during the week when she's there by herself. No, I'm asking you. There are times during the week when everybody's out working, when you're doing paving, she's not in the office by herself.
She is in the office.
Okay, what's the difference then?
Because there's guys coming and going every once in a while.
Not when you're paving, there aren't.
Why not?
I don't know. You tell me. I thought you needed them all out on paving. Why would they be coming and going if you're paving the roads? Aren't they delivering stone and doing whatever they do?
No. They're doing work for the town. The paving is handled turnkey.
So they don't have anything to do with the paving?
They did not this year.
So what were they doing when they were paving? What were the other guys doing?
How are we talking about what the MEOs do? We're talking about
Ken brought it up. Ken brought it up. That's why. But here's the thing: How do you get around the fact every other administrative employee of the town, they work, they get for a holiday, they get 7 hours off, and this was my argument: they get 7 hours off, and they have to work 28 hours. Why is that fair? That just because you decide that you're going to work your employee 8 hours on 3 days a week and 9.5 on Monday. So on Mondays, she would get 9.5 hours. So on that week, she would only work 25 and a half hours, but every other employee here, you having a hard time doing the math?
I am, Bob, and I'm having a hard time believing that 6 months went by, and now we're at a point where I'm going to have to tell you what these guys do while it's being paid.
Well, let's get back to the other thing. When if your employee, if the highway secretary gets a day off, she gets 9.5 hours off. She gets credited for 9.5 hours. Every other employee here gets credited for 7 hours. How is that fair? Now, my argument during
the union, she's not. It's not fair. It's a different department.
Put her in. She's in a union.
2 years ago, everyone's in a union. She's not.
No, I think. Well, what does that have to do with anything?
Because then she'll have to. If she's in a union, she'll have to follow the schedule of the union.
She would get the same. That wouldn't change.
Yeah, it would.
No, it wouldn't. No, it wouldn't.
Why wouldn't it?
Why would it?
Because she would have to follow the schedule, all the hours.
And it says the highway highway superintendent can change your schedule. It
but
wouldn't
in the
change.
Union contract does it say
it doesn't
that
address
in the high,
that. It well, doesn't address that. That does not address that.
For the town, it doesn't address that.
No, it doesn't address that. That was my argument. All I would have been okay with her. Okay, you just work 28 hours that week. I didn't bring this up. Other people brought it up. So, but. I didn't see how it was fair that someone could work, you know, everybody else has to work 28 hours, and then because you decide that you want to switch her hours, okay, you know, but...
I think everybody decided.
So I didn't decide it. I was against it from the start.
We're talking Memorial Day and Labor Day.
And 4th of July.
4th of July was a holiday on a Monday?
No, it was on a Tuesday, but she got paid 8.5 hours where everybody else got paid 7 hours. How is that fair?
Well, the only way to make it fair is have her work 5 days and have the controller come in the office 5 days.
The controller does come in the office 5 days.
No, she doesn't. She works from home half the time.
No, she doesn't.
She does too, Bob. She does too.
Make the controller come. Have the controller come in.
Remember, you're talking to the department head. He can tell you
yeah,
better.
Have,
what
the,
he has
have the controller also. Come in the office never. With no comp time and a salary employee come in Monday through Friday, the same office as
well,
the
why wouldn't
people.
We give her comp time? We give everybody comp time.
Salaried employees.
Yes. We give. When Al was here, he got comp time.
Because we're taking
when,
a part-time job that used to be part-time to a time and a half job for a comptroller.
All right. Okay. We're getting off on
no, I'm just saying.
We can argue that some. We can argue that.
We can put them together.
Again.
We can put them together. You know,
they shouldn't be together, Jeff.
Because if you're doing one for the other, you might as well do the other person. That way you make it fair for everyone. And then there's no argument whatsoever. Everything's fair. Because now you leave a hanging fruit out there if you, Alicia's full-time. And then the comptroller position works from home. Then you got one bad apple out there.
You're comparing a clerk to a professional.
We're comparing to a clerk that's to what, MEOs to everything else, but
yeah,
still
a clerk to a professional.
But
it
hey,
has for
we
has
talk
specific
about,
it has specific skills and abilities that other people don't have.
That you need to have an appointment to be able to meet, correct?
But we yeah.
Now,
but we have to make sure that
I thought if any of the employees needed to talk about HR, they had to set an appointment and a time.
Oh, yeah, I set that up because I don't want highway employees hanging out for half an hour, 45 minutes, bothering my secretary. Yeah, I did that today. That's why we're doing it.
Okay.
No, but I'm saying the comptroller should be in the office so that way anyone from the public that wants to come in, pay an escrow bill. Comptroller's not here. Well, what do I do? Then they leave. That happened already a couple times. You know, the town could have taken in money. If someone's here in the office, no town employee should be able to work from home.
We're working through that escrows anyway, so that's not going to be, that's not an issue.
Well, we've been working on that for a year now. They
no,
passed
no,
the
we,
Bonadeo
no, no.
For
we, and Bonadeo could not get to it, so I took it over. I'm doing it now with the comptroller, with Karen, with Nancy, with, who else is in there? Tim. So we're doing it because they couldn't get to it. So I said, we got to get
for it yet, did we?
No, we didn't pay him for it. And we collected the, we already collected 90% of the money that was back owed. I collected it. So we're working on that now.
you know, I don't know why we're mixing things. Ken, I reluctantly approved that thing 6 months ago. I was not, I would have never done a secretary 4 days a week. I just wouldn't have done that. I reluctantly gave you the benefit of the doubt and said, all right, fine, let's just try it. I'm not comfortable with this.
Whole how many people have called on Fridays? I got to hear this number.
I don't know.
I called. Nancy called. And we can't get anybody there. There's two right there.
They just got the cell phone.
Yeah, I got the phone.
What, but what did you call?
All right. If you're going to talk in a crowd, you're going to be asked to leave.
I mean, what was it like? Oh my God! There's a tree down in the road. I mean, what?
Perhaps.
What was the emergency?
I don't know, Kevin.
But that's what I'm trying to find out. You're making it sound like there's hundreds of calls on a Friday.
I did
until
not.
It, this
nobody
year,
said there were hundreds of calls.
We had a secretary that worked 20 hours a week and an elected official and a highway superintendent since we got rid of the deputy 20 years ago. There was nobody there on Fridays. I would bet Bruce Reeves was pretty hard to get a hold of on a Friday when they went to 410.
Okay, so what's your argument?
Gene said he'd come in and check the voicemail once.
So, Kevin, what's the advantage of 4 days a week? I mean, is this just an argument on principle, or what?
It seems like it.
No,
no,
I'm asking you.
I'm letting the department head run his department.
So it's a principle thing. Let the department head decide. And we have no right or...
Every department head decides when their people are working.
And we're trying to run conscientious
town
of Lysander, Kevin.
No, they don't.
But you just told Jeff that.
The department heads do not determine when they're working. What determines it, we pass resolutions on what the town's hours are, and they have to conform to those hours. Summer hours are from 8:30 to 4, winter hours are from 9 to 4:30, and everybody has to conform to that. That has nothing to do with the department heads. They don't make that. The only department head, and she's an elected official, is Dina. Dina changes that around.
So
and
these
the highway
hours,
superintendents and elected officials.
Wait, hold on. Do they go back to normal hours? Don't you have 5 days a week, or is it 4 days?
Yes, we go back.
So these are the highway summer hours. Happens to be 4:10s. So what's wrong with that? That's their building. That's their hours. This building is different hours.
Listen, I got used to the fact that was going on. My biggest issue is that everybody should work the same amount of hours for their salary.
I can tell that there's, I can pull papers and show you that there's people that aren't. We talked about in executive sessions. You know? None of that was ever brought up afterwards. I mean, they are working from their salary if they're working 35 hours, but it's their summer hours.
On a holiday, then. But you, it's okay with you.
It happens
if
to be
somebody
that.
If somebody works 25 hours for that week and gets paid their salary, and everybody else works 28 hours for the week and gets paid their salary.
Absolutely,
that's
because
okay
you know you. That holiday is going to change. That day is going to change every year. It's not going to be that Monday. It could be a Tuesday. It could be a Wednesday. It could be a Friday where there's, guess what? She's not working. She
well,
doesn't
most holidays are on Monday. The only ones that aren't during the summer are 4th of July.
It never changes for the other employees, Jeff.
Yeah.
It never changes for them.
But they got a union contract. They can decide to renegotiate that if they choose.
I guess my...
This was... You told me when I sat there in the audience, well, highway secretary, not in the union. So...
Who told you that?
Who told me that?
Yeah, who told you that? I didn't tell you that. I don't know what you're talking about.
You told me that it was argued in court who could be in the union and who could not be in the union.
No, there was a court decision. There was a court decision.
That was prior to us, though.
That was prior to us. That had nothing to do with me.
In 2021, when we were going around making her full-time and having a parks, you know, quasi-parks secretary and highway secretary.
Oh, man.
And it's not in the union. I'm sorry. And this is Ken's first year.
All right, you know
maybe
what?
Next year
you know, I just assume skip this thing. I'm really sick of this. You want to have them, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you want to have them do what you do, fine. And when people call and they can't get a hold of you or they can't get a hold
are
of...
Are you threatening me, Bob?
And they can't get a hold of your secretary.
Bob, tone it down.
I'm going to... No, I'm not going to tone it down, Ken. Well, I'm going to tell you that when they can't get a hold of you and they can't get a hold of your secretary, then I'm going to just direct them to you and you can explain to them why they couldn't get a hold of you. That's all. So what am I threatening you with? That I'm going to have the citizens call you?
You're up there... flexing your muscles like this whole thing's my
You haven't fault. Seen me flex my muscles, Ken, so I'm not doing it. So let's just move
Mr.
on.
Mr. Girasi, the highway operates as a team. Alicia happens to be, my secretary happens to be, a very important part of that team. Mm-hmm. I don't see the benefit to her being there when nobody is there.
I'd assume move on from it. To be honest with you.
What is the board's, why does the board wants her there Friday because everybody here is Friday?
I told you my reasons, Ken.
That was your argument for making it full time. That's
the argument was
that's
about
the only
hours.
Reason I have.
The town board decided at budget time to want it 5 days a week.
Do we
needed the additional
work?
Hours to
Can
get
we move on?
On?
Yeah, let's just move on.
Okay. Let's move on, and I'll table that.
So that way it's cooled down.
What?
Oh, no.
I'll table that C. All right. We got the pavement management plan.
Yes. Every year, we get a stipend from the state. And this past year, we were under the impression that we weren't going to get the state touring rates. And then, in fact, we did. Actually, it was over $700,000. So what happens is all of the work that gets paved and gets done, that's paid by the town, then gets reimbursed. And then that is when I take a look at some of the projects that we have the money for that we can do before year's end. Now, there was some discussion about the general fund. So on the printout here, you can see that the last line to the stack is that over $200,000 is going to be back into the general fund. Now, that is only from this second pavement management plan. It doesn't include...
It's not going into the general fund. It'll go into the highway fund.
Okay. So it goes into the highway fund.
Yeah.
And whatever else we come in under goes to that fund, correct?
Yes.
I've been under pretty much everything very consistently. So this number is probably going to grow. My point is... We got reimbursed the $800,000. I would like $600,000 to do the slip lining, which I also had paperwork on to let you guys know.
Well,
about that.
Well, before you move on with that, mm-hmm. You came in at our last meeting or the meeting before. I don't recall exactly which one it was, and asked for $378,000 to do 2,500 feet of slip lining. And now you're asking for $600,000 to do the same amount of distance, right?
No.
No?
So we were only going to, the previous estimate only took us to the first cross culvert north of 31. This estimate takes us all the way to West Entry Road, where we've already replaced all the catch bases and cross culverts up to that one.
All right.
So this gets us off South Road.
So when I talked to you the other day, I asked you, why is the increase in the price? And you said, because Al didn't know that there was a 12-inch pipe, 18-inch pipe, 30-inch pipe, or whatever. He didn't know that that was in there, correct?
So many variables, yes.
Okay.
No,
hold on a second now. Hold on a second. So if you didn't know that through Al, then how can you do your due diligence on that slip lining if you don't know what's in there? How do you go about doing, you know, evaluating what you need, how much it would cost, and everything else like that?
That was all done when the cross culverts were being put in on Willett, so that they could see into one way and a top off so that they could look into it. We also know that all those pipes are corrugated steel and they're 40 years old. The other point I wanted to make, this is a byline thing. If it doesn't need to be done, it doesn't get done, and it gets taken off the bill. It also is going to get cleaned the whole way through, whether that section gets spun or not.
So, Bob, we don't have anybody with combined space entry, so the only time we can look at those pipes is when there's 2 points of ingress and egress by OSHA rules. So
So those pipes were looked at when we replaced the connecting pipes from the catch basins to the mainline structures. So that's when they were inspected. Ken wasn't here then, so obviously Ken can't do it. Ken doesn't have confined space entry. We don't have the equipment for it either. So we can't, in good conscience, send somebody in those manholes without tripod ventilation, because that's what the OSHA laws say. This county contract, line by line, gives a scope and fee for everything. So there is a line in the county contract for jetting and televising the pipe. We are provided with the logs and the video of the pipes as they're inspected. There's a piece or a section that does not need to be replaced, which I find highly unlikely because it's all corrugated steel. We would tell them not to line that piece of pipe. The vendor was provided the as-built drawings for Willow Parkway, which is what I used to make my estimate to get us up to the first cross culvert north of, or the first outlet culvert north of Route 31. This is the estimate to take us from 31 all the way to West Entry Road. We do get, if there's a piece of pipe that does not need to be replaced, it would, there need to be slip lining, it wouldn't be slip lining. But because we don't have anybody with confined space entry, we don't have any equipment to actually televise this. We have to rely on contractors to do it. We started replacing culverts and pipes all the way along Willow Parkway. Every one that we've dug out of the ground has had no body to it. This is our busiest road in the town. It is a collector highway. It's the most heavily trafficked road in the town, and failure of one of those pipes in the median would result in damage to other infrastructure, including sewer and water, trunk sewer and water that serves all of that.
Would there be grants available for this, since there's additional monies now that...
Painted with it for it with grant money,
yeah.
from tour, state tour routes, which... Will
the whole thing?
Is a state tour
I didn't route. Know it was the whole thing.
So, can I ask a question? I think what the argument you guys are making is that it's a legitimate piece of work. And I don't ever doubt that. But I'm not a highway guy, and I'm not close to this every single minute of the day like you guys are. But what was it, a month ago or a month and a half ago, what would have happened if we approved $378,000? What changed between then and now?
The distance.
That's obvious. But why did it, like, 2 months ago you asked, can I have
because permission? Because we had got such a boost from the state in our touring routes, that is something that I felt we could fit in, still well within our budget.
So
contributing to the highway fund at the
so it's because the extra money was there. That's another good reason. But what would help me, and maybe I can't speak for the board, wouldn't it be nice if you told us, look, the real job goes from Route 31 to Willett Parkway. Maybe it goes beyond, but it goes, and this is what it's going to cost. I think, this is 2 months ago you're talking, I think what we should do now is $378,000 worth of, and let's keep our eyes open. If more money comes in, we're going to ask for more. But you never gave me the big picture. So I'm always sitting here like dumb, like, all right, it's a $378,000 project, all right, fine. But now it's a $641,000 for legitimate reasons, but I never got the big picture. And it would be nice to get the big picture initially. Does that make any sense?
I think I've explained myself pretty well.
You said from Route 31 to West Entry initially? 2 months ago, whenever we talked about this? You said from...
Wait, can I do it? I don't remember what I said.
Okay, and I'm just asking you to go back and think, or for the future, give me the big picture. This is how many culverts we ought to fix. It costs $1.3 million. This is how much money I think we can afford in 2023 to do it. And as we get more money in, I'm going to come back to you for more. That way, it all makes sense. All the pieces fit together, in terms of a logical sequence of how to operate.
So when you guys brought us the PMP back in the beginning of June, that only went to the first cross?
Outlet culvert off of north of 31.
Okay. This would cover the whole project.
This gets us to West Entry Road. We still have catch basins and crossing pipes that we want to replace north of West Entry Road. That should be done first before we slip line, that mainline pipe north of West Entry Road. This completes Willett Parkway to West Entry Road. The paved, all the catch bases have been replaced and moved out of the right, out of the lane, travel lanes, and completes that section of Willett Parkway.
How old is the infrastructure?
Well, that section of Willett Parkway, I believe, was constructed in 1978 or 76, someplace in there.
Okay.
Here's the problem I have with everything you do. You come in and it's all verbal. There's nothing in writing. There's no plan. There's no comprehensive plan. This is what we're going to do. This is why we're going to do it. This is when we need to do it. Just come in 15 minutes and we're supposed to vote and say okay to almost three-quarters of $1 million.
Monday morning.
Okay. All right. We'll say Monday morning. Okay, where's the written plan? Where's the comprehensive plan? Even when you give us your road maintenance plan, it's not comprehensive. It doesn't say how many feet, what you're going to do. It lists this the total, but they should be broken down in feet per section of road. So I'm not going to vote for anything more. I'm just telling you right now, I'm not going to vote for any more money that to go to the highway. And when you do your next budget, I'm not going to vote for or approve any highway maintenance plan unless it's comprehensive and it's clearly spelled out what you're going to do. When Al does a project with us, it's clearly spelled out. This is what has to happen. But when we do stuff with the highway, we don't get that. And I'm not going to vote for anything like that.
Were the prior superintendents required as well to do what you're asking me?
We're talking about you, Ken.
I'm talking about past practice.
I'm telling you, I'm not moving forward. I'm not going to vote for any increase or anything that you do unless you sit down and you do a comprehensive plan. That's what anybody should expect. If you're going to spend $750,000, if Budweiser does an addition or whatever they do over there for $750,000, they just don't go into the CEO or the board of directors and say, "Hey, I need $750,000 because you know this is what we need."
Learning curve.
You've been doing it's a long learning curve. You've been doing it for 2 years. You always use that.
A lot of learning curve.
2 years. Well, if you got that much of a learning curve, how do we know you know what you're talking about then? If you're telling me that you have a learning curve here, then how do I know that you understand or you know what you're doing with this? How do I know that?
The PMP he sent out to us has the length, the width, the area, the repair type, and that's
You're on the highway committee, like you just told us. When did you get this?
Got an email Monday, and I printed it out.
Why didn't you guys get it sooner then? I mean, isn't that what you guys do with it?
We discussed these numbers haven't changed since June.
No, they have changed because, well...
Oh,
they,
under the slip
then,
line.
Then why weren't we told that you needed a slip line, they needed a slip line from 31 to Willett Parkway when, like Bob pointed out...
I'll explain that at the meeting.
We brought you the total number, and we said we would take anything we could get. And the board voted to expend ARPA money to do a portion of it.
And Al said, well, that'll get us, you know.
I don't, that's not how I recall it. I recall that you asked for $378,000 to do like 2,500 feet of slip lining. I don't remember the rest. Now, I'd have to go back and look at the tape, but I don't recall that. But that's my position with that. I don't know where everybody else is with it. I think it's irresponsible of us to just in 2 or 3 days without a written proposal, without documentation that these things have to be done, they need to be done, as opposed to other things that we come out and we approve almost $750,000. I just think that's irresponsible from my perspective.
We received $750,000 that we did not anticipate from the state in reimbursement grants this year.
Yeah, and some of that...
We didn't know that until May.
And
that was explained.
And some of that has to go in to for the budget for next year because last year we used, I think, $800,000 for the out of our fund balance. So if we want to do the same type of road improvements this year, we're going to have to use hundreds of thousands of dollars. We can't deplete it down to $100,000 or $200,000. We have to have a cushion in there as well.
As far as I know, there's $689,000 in the highway fund balance right now.
Yeah.
His plan puts $200,000 back in. Now, of course, we're putting $378,000 of ARPA funding in there, but that's for the slip line. We received $750,000 from the state in reimbursement grants. That means we have to spend it to get it back.
That's a good point.
We didn't anticipate that.
Within a year. You don't have to spend it this year. You can spend it next year.
Let me say this.
Do we have to do this, or can we have this better prepared for the next meeting? Is that okay?
I can do all you ask.
I'm so baffled here. Ken, let me suggest something. What I don't want to be doing up here is cutting off our nose to spite our face. I mean, even though I agree 100% on what Bob is saying in terms of, you know, a comprehensive plan that explains to this board the big picture of what we're doing. Let me ask you a question. Jennifer, have you been apprised of this plan? What I would like to see with your plan, with the three of you, Al, Ken, and Jennifer, is you present to this board. Jennifer does the piece that says, I've taken a look at the numbers. Here's how they balance out. This works from a comptroller standpoint. I would like to hear that from her. What I'd like to hear from you and Al is, and this is the big picture, this is why we ought to be doing this now. And this is how it all fits together. That's what I would like. If you want to go ahead and do this, I would vote to allow you to do this. But for the future, do you see what I'm asking for?
I'm pretty sure, Bob, that when we started this, I said the reason why we want to get this done is because of the RAS and buildings that are being refurbished.
Okay.
So that when they're complete, there's no need for any road work or obstruction from the entranceway to 631, which is what that grant was all about. It's to make the entranceway to Radisson a much more modern.
Do you understand what I'm asking here? Jennifer hasn't signed off on this publicly. I would like to have her speak to this as well as you. Here's what we're doing for the road, and Jennifer's going to say, and here's how it all fits financially.
Okay, because this is new then.
I would present a plan. When I presented a plan to my boss, that's how I did it. I got the budget department involved. We had a complete comprehensive plan that answered most questions from A to Z. If you can think about what I just asked you to do, the three of yous, for the future, that would be great. Because it's like, I don't know where, this is like a dartboard for me. All right, fine, we'll spend $648,000. Oh, maybe next week they want to spend something different. I don't see the big picture.
My only thing, too, is I'd like to add something, is to get the total cost of slip lining that whole road,
yeah,
right?
If you need to do it.
If we need to do it.
We do need to do it.
Yeah.
Like I said, we would prefer to wait on that until we replace the catch basins and the cross culverts.
There you go. That's
we
can part do of it. The plan.
Yeah, okay.
So I can get you an estimate. I'll send the as-built drawings to the contractor that has a county contract, and he will, I'm sure, be happy to provide us with a proposal. However, those numbers will only get to the end of the year when there's an escalation. Actually, I think the county contract expires at the end of this year unless they extend it, but there will be an escalation clause in it. So the price only goes up the longer we wait.
So is there a resolution on the agenda to allow this?
No.
No, it's just for the work session.
Okay. So you're going to bring a resolution in next week, next meeting?
I will.
Just help me do my job, Ken, is what I'm asking you.
Any more on that? Okay. Spray Park or Malva Farms?
Spray Park, real quick.
Okay.
So I wasn't here last meeting. I did see that we did move $18,000 for sewer fees. I did take a look at it, and based upon that units, that meant that the spray park used 4.5 million or 4.5 million gallons of water that year, which is great. It's being used, right? Everyone wants to see it used. However, I asked our comptroller for our bills, and she sent them to me, And I did notice that we're being charged, and I sent it to Al as well, too, because he knows the spray park inside and out, that we're being charged for water for use of October and September. So, to me, there's a leak in the spray park.
Yeah, specifically, it's the invoice from 3/31/22.
Yeah.
That would be the first quarter of 22. We got charged for using 38,000 gallons of water.
When it was closed.
When it was closed and off. And I don't know where the leak is. I don't know if the leak is in the bottom of the meter. I don't know if the leak is in the 25-feet pipe from the meter pit to the vault. And I don't know if we had the same thing occur in, the years prior. I don't have that data, but it does appear that we have a leak that we should try to address. And I didn't know about it until Jeff sent me those yesterday.
And it was the year 20, it wasn't opening up this year, it was the previous year that the water was being used. So there's a leak somewhere.
So, Jeff,
what's the resolution on the fixing a leak, Al?
Well, I think we've got to do a little further investigation. We've got to pull the insulation out of the meter pit and have the meter inspect, have Aqua inspect the meter. It may just be a freeze plate on the bottom of the meter's leaking. But there's freeze plates in the bottom of those 2-inch meters. And we would know it because there's a drain on the bottom of the meter pit, so that there's some storm sewer right next to the meter pit, probably drained right into the stone around the storm sewer, and it's not making it to the surface. I mean, it's all one solid piece of pipe from the meter to the vault. We don't have any water coming in the vault, so something's going on. In that we're getting built 38,000 gallons of water in a period when the valve in the pit is closed. I don't know exactly where the problem is, but the first thing we've got to do is inspect the, have Aqua come and inspect the meter. And then from there, we've got to look at, okay, let's figure out how we're going to, either there's a leak in the pipe or there's a problem with meter one or two.
Good, Kevin, let's start with that tomorrow. Give him a call.
Jeff,
we'll start with that.
Did you have something to add? I thought you were starting to speak.
The largest
right.
And then this is the one that you guys are talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So there's some type of leak somewhere.
Well, let's start with that first, and then we'll go from there.
So let me ask you something. Jeff, I commend you. You found this?
Yes.
You discovered this? So how do we have a non-town board member find this in the future? I mean,
I mean, review the bills as they come in. That's what I did. You know, I did my homework. I said 18,000, that's a lot. That's equivalent to 40 houses being used. So I know it's open from open to close, which I commend you. It should be. It shouldn't be set hours, right?
Well, there should be no water being used in October.
Right. I didn't know that until I got the bills.
First quarter of the year, yes. Definitely. I mean, because he does keep it open into September. So, yeah, I can see the third quarter having a bill, and the bill makes sense kind of for September. I mean, it's a little high, but it's not ridiculous.
Kevin, do you see these bills? You need to see these bills. Kevin needs to get a hold. He needs to know what it's costing his operation so he can review them.
When the tax bill came in, we did review all of the bills. We even called the county to review it as well.
Who's that?
Side of these three bills were at zero.
Right.
So there are time periods when they're at zero. So if they're at zero at some point, that stands to reason that maybe there was not a leak, maybe there was something else going
on. That's true.
Because the spray park was just beginning.
Right. Well, my suggestion would be is just involve Kevin in this from this day forward. So if anything happens, you know, you're going to get to the bottom of this now, but, you know, who knows what's going to happen in the future, you know.
But that's it.
Wow.
Okay. Melvin Farms.
I can wait on Melvin Farms.
What?
I can wait on that, but, I mean, all I wanted to say is, I can cover it in a minute. We've got the recommendations from the planning and zoning boards. I didn't see any movement
We never got the final CLUP from the planning board, though, did we?
No, no, this is about Melvin Farm.
Oh, Melvin.
Incentives only. The planning board just met middle of July and gave their recommendation and emailed it to all of us. I just didn't know. You know, there's some recommendations in there about looking into sewer district costs, you know, bigger districts, different areas.
You should think that.
And what we're going to have to do, we're going to have to, because there was number of recommendations on there. Mr. DiRigo is here tonight. He wanted to set up a meeting with me, and then we're going to have to set up another meeting with our committee on that incentive zone committee and go over that.
I think most of the matters that are in that letter will be addressed, by the way. You know, the buildings have been moved. I can tell you that right now.
So as a developer, and you're working on the recommendations already?
I'm not the developer.
Well, is the developer is working on the recommendations.
It is. Yes, indeed, then. We've been talking to Al about doing all of this. Now, you know, in terms of the sewers, what we have said all along and what we will actually provide is sewers with enough capacity to do our project, the school, plus an additional 800 homes. That brings the cost to about probably in the order of 1/8. Al, would you agree with that? Yeah, and that's about the limit that I think my client is willing to spend. So, I mean, we never talked about doing the whole peninsula or anything like that. What we said was we'll do the school, we'll do our project, we'll do an additional 800 homes. So, you know, and we will do that. And in terms of density, you know, most apartment projects probably go 8 to 12 units per acre. I think that's probably fairly close. So, you know, we have 600 units, slightly less than 600 units, on 300 acres. That's, you know, what, two? Is that two per acre? Somewhere like that. I mean, most of that acreage is developable. The wetlands, I mean, you can look at our exhibit on the LOI. We could develop some of those wetlands, but we're not going to. We could develop, you know, well, we can't develop lot two because of the restrictions, for sure.
Yeah, and we got to get moving on. But, you know, we'll sit down, but we have to, because there were a number of things in the planning board's recommendations that we have to go over. And we'll have to get together with the committee again and go over those.
Happy to do it.
All right.
Name the time and the date, I'll be there.
Anything else?
No, that was it.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mark.
Sure.
6:30, and we will call a meeting to order. Start with a pledge of allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay.
This is revised motion D.
Okay, we're, I see. Okay.
Okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So, if everyone's had an opportunity to take a look at the minutes from June 15th, they have a motion to adopt the minutes as distributed.
I'll move it.
I'll second it.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carried. I may have a motion to adopt the minutes of July 20th, 2023.
I'll move it again.
I'll second it again.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any
abstaining? I wasn't here.
Okay, one abstention?
Two abstentions. All
two abstentions?
I wasn't here.
Mr. Jurassic and Mr. Kudaraskis? Okay, and I'm an aye. So motion carried. Okay. So we're going to have a public hearing to consider local law number 6 of 2023. May I have a motion to open up the public hearing?
I'll move that.
I'll second it.
Okay. So, Ms. Falcone, can you explain what this public hearing is about?
Sure.
Just briefly, just.
Okay, so we adopted local law number 1 of 2023, which was for the construction code. And there's a paragraph that was supposed to be in the beginning of the code, which General Code brought up to me after I had filed it, after I filed the local law. And they said that municipalities always adopt that paragraph, and that's the one that you all have in your agenda packets. So we just have to add that paragraph, and we, but we have to have another local law for it, though, just to add it. And then I'll send it back to General Code. So General Code brought it up and said, we have to have this in here, basically.
Okay.
It's nothing, we didn't do anything wrong, it's just they recommended it for the
code. Doesn't change it at all. It's just additional language that they recommended. Okay. Okay. Is there anyone wishing to speak for or against the proposed local law? Okay. May I have a motion to close the public hearing?
I'll move it. I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Public hearing is now closed. Citizens' comments. Is there anybody in the crowd that would like to comment on agenda items only?
How you doing? Fred Birch, Plainville Road. Regarding the discussion about the water in the spray park.
Okay, that's not an agenda item, so that's
something that we discussed at the meeting. I'd like to help out the town. I've got a little bit of experience ahead of you. I actually foiled the clerk 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
And listen, you can do a dye test. I worked for Baino for 15 years. He's the biggest irrigation installer in the
United States. Like I said, that's not on the agenda. So if you want to call up Mr. Merrill and then discuss it with him, and then he can make a determination on that.
It's easy to figure out where your leak is. Okay. I just wanted to help out the town.
Okay.
You can deal with it. Dye pack.
Okay.
Regarding extension of the solar moratorium, I'm in favor of that. Not sure if the board has become aware or not, but last week there was a very huge article in the news in our neighboring sister county, Madison County, with a solar field the size of what is located next to me on Church Road.
Actually, I think it was up north. It was a town of Lyme. That's up near Watertown.
Okay, all right. Well, I thought the report said it, Madison County. But so it went up in flames, and the concern that I have is the residents in the 3 mile area that were relocated due to the toxic. And to be honest with you, I've attended all the public hearings regarding the solar and invested a lot of my free time in looking stuff up on the internet. I've even went to the companies doing the installation and asked for brochures and stuff. And that's not anything that I can remember anybody addressing or being concerned or being brought up as a topic. You know, my concerns were always the way it looks, the aesthetics. And I was always in favor of if we can get something for close to nothing.
Well, I think that's all new with everybody. Nobody knows about
right.
that. That was something they didn't realize. And I think that the report I heard was that there's a downstate senator that's proposing some legislation that would put a statewide moratorium on these things until they determine what it is. So even though we're probably going to move forward with it, then
since we have one, we got one already, and I think, I'm not sure, I mean, I saw measurements out on Dingle Hole and Lamson where they, I'm not sure if those are going in because they're grandfathered or whether we're slowing them down in time or whatever, but our sister town Van Buren has a couple, two at least I'm aware of, and we share a fire district, And I think since we already got them, we ought to make sure our firefighters are prepared in the event something like that happens. I think it's a little bit different task to tackle than the normal fires that they're used to. And if that's the case, I think we should be out in front of it and be prepared before it happens instead of saying, hey, look what happened. We need some of this stuff now.
Well, the fire people, fire agencies are the professionals in that. I'm not a professional firefighter, so I think that, I mean, if you're going to talk to them about it, you go to their meetings because they're the ones that are going to have to do it. I wouldn't even know where to start.
Bob, I just watched enough and followed up on the report. I might have got the county wrong, but the gist of the story was quite a few guys in departments showed up, but they were not having luck putting out the fire with water. It was resisting the water. In other words, it takes a different type of application. I don't know if it's foam with retardant or whatever. But we show up for a fire like that, and all we got is water, we're going to have the same situation with the toxic. And luckily, most of the time, the prevailing wind is coming from the west, so if it ever happened on Church Road or whatever, it'd be going that direction and not my direction. But anyways, appreciate your time. Okay. Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay. Town board comments. Start with you, Mr. Moore.
I just want to thank everybody for watching, for coming out. And I'm just going to stick to the agenda. Thanks.
I will stick to the agenda as well.
Just want to thank everyone for coming out. 2 weeks ago, we had a highway committee meeting. We met with Budweiser, went to their facility, also had Radisson there as well, too, to talk about the trucks on Brundage Road. We found out, upon all of our determination, that there was a lack of communication with the truck drivers on where to park, right? You try to find where they're allowed to park, you need a map. So there's no communication. So when the drivers come early to pick up their load, they're not handed a map and say, hey, please park here. Plus there's no signage either. So we're working on Budweiser and with Lynn Tanner to the RCA to come up with some ideas for signage. And that way Budweiser also can give them flyers too if the truck drivers show up early. So that way they know where to park, because it's not being utilized right now as Budweiser would like them to use it all the time, because they're paying the monthly fee on that. But that's
it. Can I ask a question to you about the Budweiser negotiation?
Actually, no.
Okay. I'll answer
that. You can do it afterwards, though.
I will, thank you.
Yeah.
And that's all I have.
Thanks for everybody attending and those watching. Just found out this week that rifle hunting is going to be allowed in Onondaga County, so that'll be somewhat of a game changer for people for big game hunting this year. I'll have to make a decision if I'm going to get a rifle or not. But other than that, just stick to the agenda. Thank you.
Okay. Supervisor Zachariah from the town of Van Buren and I met with Senator Rachel May Tuesday regarding the 631 bypass, and she understands what the problem is. She has some friends in Baldwinsville, and with the county's plan, the village is a choke point. There's an artery that they have in their design that would go from Madison County down 31 to Cayuga County, and like we explained to her, that the village is a choke point. The only way to relieve the pressure on the village, truck traffic and vehicular traffic, is to have a bypass. And she was in favor of sending a letter to state DOT, so we're going to work with her in drafting a letter. But we've talked to Assemblyman Magnarelli, people from state DOT, the county planning. Our next move is going to be with Micron, talk to them. But so far, everything has been positive, and people, I think, are realizing that that is an issue, and hopefully we can get some movement on it and maybe get some relief in the future when they come back with the traffic study. That's all I have. department heads. Mr. Rivasigno.
The other thing I want to just add, as far as the agenda is concerned, the motion to approve the extension really should be a motion to call a public hearing.
I have it. Yeah, I'm going to change that.
Okay, that's all I have.
Mr. Merrill.
We've got several programs that are coming up or ongoing that have registration open. We've got some fitness classes that have been ongoing. These are by a couple of local personal trainers, and they're doing this Monday through Friday. So all of the information is up on the website and on our Facebook page. So registration is open for that, for fitness classes at the park. We have another session of Arts and Crafts Club starting August 7th, so registration is currently open for that. We have a few sports-related camps, if you want to call them. They're just consecutive day programs. Open at Frisbee Club. These are all for kids. I should back up. The Arts and Crafts is for the kids. The fitness classes are for adults. The summer sports clubs, grades 3 to 5 and grades 6 to 9. So we had the Ultimate Frisbee Club coming up, and then Games Unlimited. So that's a mix of sports type games. So registration is open for all of those. We have Challenge Island, which has been working with us to offer some STEM-based camps throughout the summer. They've got another one. They've kind of changed the theme and the name for the last one, which is August 14th to 18th. It was supposed to be, I can't even remember which one it was supposed to be, but they've changed it. It's now a pet-related, it's Petalooza. Registration for that is open. And then lastly, what we have open is BFAST Track and Field Program. We're collaborating with a couple of local, a husband and wife team that are lifelong runners and track athletes themselves, and going to put together a track program in September, and that'll utilize the track at the high school, and so registration is open for that as well. So again, all these flyers are on our website and on Facebook.
Kevin, where are you at with projects in the park?
Such as?
I don't know. What are you working on? Is there a restroom expansion or facility? Or what are you?
There was, I believe, we're just reviewing whatever. There was a grant for that, but nowhere near enough to do what needs to be done to that building.
So we're not doing anything to the bathroom facility?
Did we reapply for that grant?
Not immediately, no.
Okay. Did we reapply for that grant for the facilities?
I'm going to look to see if that's even something that we can either reallocate towards something else or if we can add to it.
Well, what is, you still have a need? I mean, we were going to do something to the restroom. We were going to, what were we going to, we were going to expand it?
I think it was prior to
changing stations and changing rooms.
But you don't need that.
And a pavilion.
Okay, so you're satisfied the facility we have now works.
No, we need more bathrooms.
Okay, we need more bathrooms.
More bathrooms.
Okay, are we putting a plan together for to address that? Like,
we'll be working on that. Not at the moment, no. But okay.
And your pickleball courts, they're in okay shape. Where are you at with them? You're done with that?
Well, I mean, that will always, I mean, we're done with it at the moment. I mean, there's always going to be on a cycle or routine basis, you know, on a cycle of 3 to 5 years where we have to resurface the courts. But right now,
you're in okay shape.
They're in okay shape. Yeah.
And how about the spray park? How's it doing?
Waiting for a vendor to come back. There's just a ball valve that needs to be
How about attendance? What is your perspective on how it's doing attendance-wise?
Attendance on the spray park, I mean, all I can do is guesstimate on that. I don't have anybody to count. But on a daily basis, Monday through Friday, I would say 100 plus
a day
kids are there a day. On the weekends, if they get just an educated guess, I would say we're probably in the 400 to 500 kids going through that.
Plus, you're going to pick up more now too. That football starting, soccer starting, all that good stuff.
A little bit. I mean, that's just,
you know, parents bringing their little ones.
White siblings that come along. That, yeah.
Now you had sent an email out about big event coming up in September.
Right, we are hosting the Baldwin Foundation pickleball tournament, which the collaboration of our pickleball players, myself, and the Baldwin Foundation have put together a pickleball tournament to benefit the Baldwin Foundation. So it's basically a three-day event, and so yeah, it's. So yes, the park is unavailable to athletic organizations that weekend. Just the main concern there is parking.
Right. Now, do they fill out the permit or application like we have everybody else?
Okay. Yep.
So we'll see that at the next meeting? Okay.
Do you want to see it?
Well, no, just know that usually we have to permit an application for use.
That license.
Right.
You guys typically see the ones for the road races.
Okay. Yeah, I just like to see it. I just didn't know. I mean, are we donating time or are they paying for use?
They pay for the course.
Okay.
No parking is a good problem to have. I drove by a couple parks and I saw like one or two cars there. So not having room in the park is a good problem.
Our problem now is we need more money.
Good.
Thank you.
Mr. Sweetak.
I think that's pretty much all I'm going to say for the mic. Other than, I just wanted to make mention of the state tournaments. It is a two-year thing, but it's my understanding that because we used it all at one time, that is why they gave us such the increase. And it's just my input that we start dividing it and they see it as, well, then it's not, they don't have enough immediate need or work to use it all at once like they have. Maybe next time we don't do as much. So that's how that works.
I left you a message regarding a dead deer up on 31 and 631. Was that taken care of?
It was notified the state. That's their job. Okay. Actually, I was going to mention, I'm working with the DEC because currently we don't have anywhere we don't pick up dead animals because we don't have anywhere to take them or the, you know, training to handle that stuff. But the state has really helped.
So what do we do with deers that are on the side of the road on town roads?
Well, if it's an obstruction of traffic, it gets dragged out to the side.
And we leave it there?
Yep. We don't have a policy. The county doesn't have a policy, and the village doesn't have a policy, and neither does the town.
So what are you saying? We need a policy?
I'm saying that I'm trying to work on one.
On average, real good, how many deer are we talking? A couple a year? Three?
Couple.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
So the county doesn't the county doesn't have a process? They don't have people to pick them up either, right?
They don't have a process, Kevin. It's just a perennial problem. It's just, you deal with it on a case-by-case basis. Okay. I mean,
fill your tags.
You call it
rifle. Rifles might help that problem.
There's no place to put them. There's no place to put animals of that size anywhere in the county.
We have the, you know, the various diseases too. Possibly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, Manlius has a compost program for animal carcasses. Essentially, they put in a big, huge wood chip pile and let nature take its course. We don't do brush pickup, so it's not something that we can necessarily do because we don't generate compost wood chips to compost them in. But you know, we get training and the equipment to deal with it. Again, it's something we can work with Manlius to do something like that.
Clay has their compost pile. I wonder if they do that.
I could ask the other guys.
Yeah. Right there at their highway barn, you can go pick up compost.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's not something that you would.
No, I know you want to pick that stuff.
I don't want that.
You want some bones for your lunch?
Maybe once. That way, my wife will never ask me to do it again.
Stone it is.
Stone it is.
Anything else? Mr. Yeager? Ms. Falcone?
Speaking of deer, the hunting licenses went on sale August 1st. Doe permits as well. The DMPs are available for sale August, September, then they take a break in October, put everything together, and then the lottery starts again on November 1st. So anybody who comes back for a DMP, well, if they've already tried a DMP with their $10 and they didn't get it, they can get, if there's any areas left, they can come back for free and see what's left.
Okay. That it?
I think people should probably just come to my office and get the, get their license. Much easier than going to like Dick's or Walmart.
Okay.
I agree.
And the town clerk's office will be going to 4 times with Fridays off starting Monday.
So we could put something on with
that. That was a joke.
Come in next Friday, you'll see.
Wasn't funny.
I'm tired. I got a text really early this morning.
Yeah, I didn't update my email passwords and I paid for it. I'm sorry.
Okay. Moving on to regular agenda items. May have a motion to adopt local law number 6, amending local law number 1 of 2023, subdivision 4D. Change 122 construction codes uniform.
I'll move it.
Second it.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carried. We have a motion to accept the comptroller's, the town comptroller's and Bonadeo's audit reports of the Town of Lysander Justice Court for the fiscal years ending 2021 and 2022.
I'll move it.
I'll second it.
Any discussion?
I have a question. So I read them over. I've never really looked at an audit like that before. So in both years, do you just pull 10 random? I just don't know how the process works. And it just seemed odd that in both years there was 9 out of 10 for one judge and 10 out of 10 for the other.
There wasn't. The only time there was that name was in my audit in 2022. So because Bonadeo was here, they were doing 2021 while I was doing 2022. They put that in their letter just because it was an actual
file. Okay. So the... So the 2021 audit was fine?
Yeah, she just had a comment about some cash receipt dates that are in the comments behind appendix 10.
And everything...
It wasn't enough to make the letter.
Right, and everything on your end looked great? Okay, thank you. Right. That's all.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carried. We're going to table motion C, and motion D is going, it has to change. We have to do a public hearing, so prior to extending the solar moratorium. So D, may have a motion to hold a public hearing on Thursday, August 17th, 2023 at 6:30 p.m. to consider a local law to approve the extension of the solar moratorium from October 20, 2023 to April 20, 2024. This motion shall authorize the town clerk to advertise for same.
I will move that.
I'll second it.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carried. I think we need to go into executive session to talk about a specific employee's work history. So may I have a motion to move into executive session at 6:58?
I'm moving.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, we're in executive session. So we're not going to be voting on anything tonight. So there's just no need to stick around if you don't want to.
Kevin, what about art?
Yeah.
Archer. Used to be a thing called art. Bob.